Let's go. Okay, we're at Tafov on base. As we have introduced a number of times over the last few days, we're trying to go quickly because this is Divrei Agoda, and as we'll see, some of it rather esoteric. We're up to the Gemara Tafov on base. The first word on the line, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, seventh very wide line. The seventh very wide line, the first word on the line is Kataya. Omale Ahumer Rabbonon Rav Bibi Bar Abaya. Va'omri lo, and some say it was Rav Bibi L'Rav Nachman Bayitzchok. This is a different Amira. And again, it's a very hard translation of some of the words. We'll try our best amidst Hashem. But the Gemara says, what does it mean? What does it mean when it's said in the Pasuk? This is a Pasuk actually in Tehillim. Krum zlus livnei odom. What's this referring to? Omale elu dvorim sha'oimdim barumoi shel olam. This is a reference to some of those things which are the most exalted in the world. And nonetheless, ubnei odom mezalzelin bohem, and people yet abuse them, or they neglect them. What is this referring to? So if you have a look at Rashi, this is Rashi on the left-hand side. Dvarim sha'omdim berumoy shel olam, which things are oimed berumoy shel olam, kagoyin tefillah. For example, tefillah is an example of something which is considered very lofty. Why? Sha'oilo lamalo, because it ascends upwards, and you would have thought, therefore, that tefillah should be something that's considered with the most kavod, and yet, unfortunately, we see that's not always the case. Even though it is something which is oimed berumei shel olam, people are mezalzel in it. People do not treat tefillah really the way they should. Okay, we're happy to have Rabbi Yosef back with us. Hope you're feeling better. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Loza the Omri Tarvayu, is a different translation, a very hard translation. And they said that the Pasuk is referring to something else. Kiven shenitztarech odom lebrios, when a person is in need of support by others, in other words, a person finds himself in a very difficult situation, financial situation, for example, and he is totally reliant on the help of others. Ponov mishtanois kekrum. And it's extremely embarrassing, and his face changes color like a krum. What is a krum? We'll see in a second. But again, it's learned from the same pasuk. Shnema krum zlus lebnei odom. My krum. What does it mean that one's face, out of embarrassment, changes to a krum? What exactly is a krum? Says the Gemara, it's a type of bird. There is a bird in the distant city by the sea, the krum shmoi. In fact, it's called krum. The kiven shachamo zeirachas, and when the sun shines, mishapich lekamo gvanin, it changes into many colors. An incredible bird. And therefore, we're comparing somebody who has to knock on others' doors and say and beg for help, so too his face also changes into many colors. In other words, out of embarrassment, and a person should always consider this. It's extremely embarrassing for a person to have to solicit help from others, and someone comes to knock on your door, you have to take his embarrassment into account. Ravami v'ravasi domitarvayu ki'ilu nidoin b'shtei dinim. Somebody who has to elicit support from others, not only is it very embarrassing, but it's a big oynish as well. And it's like he's been sentenced to eish umayim, both fire and water. Shenema herkavto enosh l'roshenu boyu b'meish b'eish u'b'mayim. So it's considered like a punishment of eish and mayim. Not quite sure what the reference. I wonder if they explain there, really, oh, David, why it's comparable to Asian mime.
Put on my glasses here. It comes from Tehillim.
Yep.
The plain meaning of the verse is, you have mounted a mortal over our heads. The Gemara understands the word L'Roshenu, over our head, to be from the Aramaic root Rashia, which means to press for payment.
Right.
The Targum from Shmos, Kaf Beis, Kaf Dalet. The verse, so therefore the pasuk means, you have mounted a mortal to press us for payment, according to Rashi. And it says that, that the two punishments, fire and water, are an allusion to the embarrassment that the borrower suffers from being pressed for payment when he has no funds to pay. The Gemara in Bava Metzia states that an embarrassed person's face turns red and then white. It is these colors that the verse alludes to by mentioning fire and water.
Oh, I see. His face becomes red and white, red like fire and white like water. Okay, very good. Says the Gemara, Va'oma Rabbi Chelboy, Omar Avuna, Lo'oilom, again, we're going to go quickly over here, Lo'oilom Yehi Odom Zohir B'Tfilas Mincha. A person should always be extra careful with regard to the Mincha Tfila. Why is Tfila Tfilas Mincha unique? Shari Eliyahu Lo'inene El B'Tfilas Mincha. Because Eliyahu Hanavi was answered, which Tfila, when it came to Mincha, Shenema Vayehi Ba'alois Ha Mincha. And it says there, Vayagish Eliyahu Hanavi Vayomer, etc. etc. Aneini Hashem, Aneini. As we know, the famous showdown between Eliyahu Hanavi and the Avodah Zarah worshippers, and they tried to sacrifice their animal and they screamed and yelled to their God and nothing happened. And eventually Eliyahu Hanavi put his korban on the Mizbeach and davened to the Ribbono Shel Olam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring a fire down min HaShemayim, and that would produce a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But when was he answered? At Mincha. Now, what was the nusach of his tefillah? The Gemara says, Aneini Hashem Aneini, which is a double lashon. Why twice? Aneini sheteired eish min HaShemayim. Please answer me, asked Eliyahu Hanavi, that in fact a fire should descend min HaShemayim. But also, Aneini shelo yomru maisek shafim heim. But also answer my other tefillah so that the idol worshippers should not say that this is just the koyach of magic. In other words, even if the fire descends from heaven, I still may not necessarily have proven my point, because maybe they'll claim you had some koyach of magic. So please answer my tefillah that nobody should say that, and indeed a Kiddush Hashem should be produced. But either way, you see that his tefillah was answered at Mincha, and that clearly shows us how careful a person has to be with regard to Tfilas Mincha. Having said that, but actually the Ma'ariv prayer is also very important. So it talks about the Tfilah of the Erev. And guess what? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok now completes the set, and Omar Af Tfilah Shachris. Actually, Shachris one should also be very careful about. Why? Shenema Hashem boiker tishma koili boiker erech l'chov atzapis. You see quite clearly that over here the pasuk in the Tehillim talks about the koyach of shachris. So basically, each tefillah has its unique koyach, and therefore one should be careful with regard to all of them.
Rob, I'm sorry to interrupt. Where are we up to?
That's Vav on the base. Firstly, it's very good to see Rabbi Yosef. How are you feeling? Are you feeling a bit better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, but I'm not completely recovered. But I'm feeling a lot better. Baruch Hashem, it's quite a knockout.
Continue your recovery, Mitzvah Hashem. Yeah. We are on the Vav on the base.
Vav on the base, yeah.
Right. And we are towards the bottom. We're about 12 lines from the bottom. I know we've done quite a lot, but we're going quickly over here because we're going to bring our brother.
12 lines from the bottom. Okay.
And if you look, the first word on the line is koili. The first word on the line is koili. And we're up to the word Va'omar Rav Chelboy.
Okay, Shkai, thank you very much. That's right, Jim.
Right. So the Gemara says, Va'omar Rav Chelboy, Omar Rav Ahuna. Now, essentially, these statements that are brought in the Gemara are not really connected, but they're just all authored by the same Amoira of Chelbo in the name of Ravuna, and that's why the Gemara is quoting them all. For Omar of Chelbo, Omar Ravuna, ko hanene misudas chosan. If anybody is benefiting from a suda of a chosan, in other words, he comes to a chasan, but ve'enoi misamchoi, but he's not misameachim. There's no point going to a chasana, just eating the meal and then going home if you're not misameach v'chosan. If you do that, over b'chamisha koilos, you have transgressed, as it were, the five voices. Which five voices? Shenema koil sasoin, koil simcha, koil choson, koil kalo, koil oimrim hoidoshem esesvokis. So you see that the word koil is mentioned five times in that posuk in reference to choson mekala. And therefore, if you do not fulfill the mitzvah in mesameh choson mekala, you are transgressing those five koilos. Ve'im mesamchoi. But on the other hand, if you are mesameachim, as we learned yesterday, the best way to mesameachim is with words, wish him mazel tov, or praise his kala, etc., etc. So if you are mesameachim, mas choroi, what will be his reward? Omer Rabbi Yeshua, the other way around. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, zoicha l'toira. He will be zoicha to toira, shenitno b'chamisha koilos. So to toira was also given in five koilos, because it says there also, shenema vayihi bayom ha'shlishi, on the third day when it came to matan Torah, b'yosav boike vayihi koilos ubrakim, that's already two, v'on in kovod al ahor, v'koil shofar is three, vayihi koil ha'shofar is four, v'olei kim yanenu v'koil is five. Says the Gemara, eini, v'oksiv v'kol ha'om royim es ha'koilos. It says that the nation saw the sound, but didn't actually hear it. No. Those were the koilos that were prior to Matan Torah, and we're talking about the ones afterwards. Rabbi Avo Omar, that if you're Mesameach Chosn V'Kala, Ki'ilu Hikriv Toido, Shenema Mevim Toido Beis Hashem. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar, Ki'ilu Bono Achas Nichur Beis Yerushalayim. It is as if you have rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Each couple that get married and build their own home is itself a step in building up Yerushalayim. Shenema ki oshibes shus haaretz kevori shoyna oma Hashem. Okay, so again, we continue with further statements in the name of Reb Chelboy, in the name of Reb Huna. Says the Gemara, v'omar Reb Chelboy, we're now on the sixth bottom line. V'omar Reb Chelboy, omar Reb Huna. Kol odom sheyesh bo yira shomayim dvorov nishmoim. Anybody who has Yirah Shamayim, his words are listened to, which, by the way, is a very, very important Gemara. Every Gemara is important. But we know that in the Olam of the Goyim, entire books have been written, I think the most famous of which, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. All different tips and tactics, how it is you can influence people, how it is you can get them to listen to you. And yet here, the Gemara tells us what the real way is. How to win friends and influence people. How is it that you can ensure that you'll be listened to? The answer is, if you have Yirah Shamayim. A person who has Yirah Shamayim does not come across as pompous or egoistic or have any self-interest. Rather, he's only interested in being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. That type of person will always be listened to. How do we know that's the case? Shenema soif davar hakoil nishma. Everything will be listened to. Who? Eso Elohim yorei. The person who fears God. Now, what does it mean? My kizeh kol ha'odom. That's the end of that pasuk there at the end of Keheles. Kizeh kol ha'odom. What does it mean? That's the whole person. Well, that's everything revolves around Yirah Shamayim. Says the Gemara, yes, Omar Belaz, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Ha'olam Kuloi Loi Nivro Elo Bishvil Zeh. The whole world is created just for this person who's a Yirah Shamayim. He is the Tachlis of the world. Rav Abba Bakan Omar Shokul Zeh Keneged Kol Olam Kuloi, or he is equal in value to the whole world, or Rav Shimon Ben Azayimah V'Omil Rav Shimon Ben Zayimah Omar Kol Ha'olam Kuloi Loi nivro elo letzavois lezeh. How do they translate letzavois in your art scroll?
As an accompaniment for this person.
As an accompaniment. The word tzavsa, when two people learn b'chavrusa, the Gemara calls it learning b'tzavsa. So all of the world is all there to accompany, to serve the needs of the person who is a yorei shamayim. Another statement now. V'omar Rav Chelboy, Omar Rav Huna, kol sheyoideya, if you know that his friend is used, frequently greets him, then indeed let him greet you. Yaktim loy shalom shenema bakei shalom v'rotfeu v'imnosan loy v'loy hechzir. And if his friend greets him and you do not return the greeting, so he says, good morning, how are you? And you just ignore him, then you should know, nikra gazlan, you are called a thief. Shenema va'ato be'artem hikarem gazlas oni bevoteihim. So there's a new form of stealing, and it refers to somebody who greets you and you do not greet them back. Okay, with this now, we move on to Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, a phenomenal Gemara. A very famous Gemara, an incredible Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Yechanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yasi, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? Now, obviously, this is a very difficult concept to understand. We had in the previous Omar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on tefillin, and exactly what's written in his tefillin. And here we're learning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens, which is a rather peculiar, difficult to understand concept, because who does he daven to? But let's have a look. Omar Rabbi Yechim Shum Rabbi Yasi Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalo. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? Shenemar Vahaviyoisim El Har Kochi V'simachtim Be'beis Tfilosi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the Beis HaMikdosh as Beis Tfilosi, the house of my prayer. Now, if he's referring to Klal Yisrael, then surely he should have called it the house of their prayer. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call it the house of my prayer? Says the Gemara, Tfilosom, quote unquote, Leinemar. It does not say their tfilah. Ela tfilosi, rather my prayer. So you learn from over here, Mikan Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. So you see from over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself prays, and that's what it means, tfilosi, my prayer. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu daven? My matzli. What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? Omar Rav Zutra Batuvia, very famous Gemara in the name of Rav. Yihirot soin milafonai. So we daven by saying the Yirot soin in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that may it be the Rotzen in front of me, before me, that what? Sheyichpashu rachamai, or sheyichpashu rachami es kasi. May my midas horachamim overcome and suppress my anger. V'yagoylu rachamai rachami al midoisai. And may my rachamim, again, prevail over all my other attributes by snahei gimbonai b'midas rachamim, so that I should deal with my children, meaning Klal Yisrael, with the middle of rachamim. The ikone islohem lifnim mishuras hadim, and I will literally translate it. I will enter with them lifnim mishuras hadin. I will go beyond the letter of the law. Beyond the letter of the law. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us with the middah of din, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interacting with us absolutely as the letter of the law dictates. The middah of the rachmim, kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks and says, I will go beyond the strict letter of the law. Now here comes an incredible story, very difficult to understand story, but very famous story. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was one of the Koyanim Gedolim. And he said, Pam achas nichnasti, on one occasion I entered lahakdir k'toires lifnai v'lifnim. We know that the Kohen Gadol's job is to go into the Kodesh Kodshim on Yom Kippur and to be makdik toiras then. And he did that. And on one occasion when he entered, v'ro'isi akasriel ko, Hashem tzavokos. And I saw akasriel, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehu yoshev al kisei rom v'nisa. Again, very difficult to understand what this means. The Kohen Gadol Kaviyachol said he saw the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on his Kisei HaKovod. Va'omar li, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu requested of me, he says, Yishmael b'ni borcheini. Yishmael, my son, please bless me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu unbelievably requested of Yishmael Kohen Gadol, please, could you give me a bracha? Borcheini. Omar tiloi. So I said to him, and of course, these are the same words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillah, Yirotze milfonecho, sheyich b'shu rachamecho es kascho. May it indeed be your will that your rachamim should overcome your kas, v'yagoyru rachamecho midaysecho, v'tisnahigim bonecho b'midas rachamim v'tikonis lehem lefnim mishur esadim. So obviously this is the exact tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bracha was that indeed the tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should indeed be fulfilled. Says the Gemara, v'na'anea li roishi. And as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nodded his head. You look at the very first Rashi on the Amud, v'na'anea li roishi k'moide b'birkosi. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was agreeing to the bracha v'oina omein. Very difficult concepts to understand. V'komash malon, what's being taught in this story is Shaloi Tehe Birkas Hedyoit Kalaba'inecho. And the bracha of a Hedyoit, of even of an ordinary person, should not be considered likely. As great as Rabbi Shmuel was, but here we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvoido Be'atzmai, and nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only requested a bracha, but even said Amen, as if Kaviyochel, the bracha, was accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see over here that even the bracha of a hedyot of an ordinary person should not be considered lightly. So if somebody needs a bracha, of course we ask Gedolei Yisrael Tzadikim to give brachas. But even somebody who's not a tzaddik, if he gives you a bracha, if he says, listen, I hear you're not feeling well, I wish you refuah shleima. I hear you've had a difficulty in your business, I wish you all hatzlacha. Whatever it may be, you should definitely say amen. You should definitely say amen. The fact that this person is not a great righteous person doesn't matter, even if he's a hedyot. But here we have a Gemara, it says that the brach of a hedyot should not be kalah b'oinecho. I'm not sure if I ever told you the story. If I didn't, then I'll tell it now. One of the great Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim, who passed away just a few years ago, his name was Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fischer. He lived in Me'er She'arim. He was one of the heads of the Bedat Zeh Charedis, a terrific Talmud Chacham. My father told me Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fischer and his shul on Yom Kippur, there was an elderly Jew, very old person, and for whatever reason, this elderly Jew was convinced that he was going to get an aliyah on Yom Kippur. And lo and behold, Kriya Satira came and Kriya Satira went and he did not get an aliyah. And he was extremely upset, very, very, very insulted. And Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, approached this elderly man and he said to him, he said it in Yiddish, Ich zog euch zu, which means I promise you, that next year you'll get an aliyah. Ich zog euch zu, as the kumen de kaya, the next year, vestu bakumen an aliyah, you're going to get an aliyah. After Musaf, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov could see that this elderly man was still very, very upset, and he had not yet got over it, and Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov went up to him for a second time and said, Ich zog euch zu, I promise you, that this time next year in Yom Kippur, I will arrange personally, you'll get an aliyah. At the end of Yom Kippur, Mincha Ne'ilah, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov saw that this person had still not got over it. He'd gone a few hours since Kriya Satorah and he was still upset, still very offended and insulted. So Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov went up to him for a third time and said, I promise you that next Yom Kippur you'll get an aliyah. A few months later, during the course of that year, this elderly man passed away. So the children of this elderly man came to Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov, and they said, excuse me, we have a taina. We have a complaint to lodge. What's going on? You promised our father that this time next year on Yom Kippur, he'll get an aliyah. Clearly that means that included in your promise was also a bracha that he's going to live till next year. So what's happened? Halfway through the year and he's passed away. So Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov said to the children, you have no complaint against me whatsoever. I promised him, I gave him a bracha three times that next year on Yom Kippur he'll get an aliyah, and not once did he respond by saying Amen. And if he did not say Amen, then there's no wonder that the bracha did not take effect. Which is a scary story, but here you see that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi, answers Amen to Rabbi Shmuel's bracha. So Kal Vachomer, we get a bracha, we should say Amen. Even if the person who's giving us the bracha, or even if the person who's davening for us might not necessarily seem a great person or a Talmud Chacham, he might be considered a hedyot. But however hedyot he is, the difference in stature between us and this particular person is infinitesimal compared to the difference in stature, as it were, between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only requested his bracha, he also consented to his bracha. He nodded his head and he said, Amen. I once mentioned, those of you who are with us in the Tulavad a number of years ago, a very, very important little vignette. I remember on one occasion, a particular member of my family was unwell, and they arranged a minyan to daven for this family member at the coastal. Most of my family live in Yerushalayim, so for them to get to the coastal is not such a big trek. But for me living in Beit Shemesh, it was a whole balagan. And I wasn't sure, should I go, I shouldn't go. In the end, I went. And I must be honest, I was feeling a little bit aggrieved. It's a whole big schlep to get to the coastal. It could be an hour and a half. And back is another hour and a half. I don't have a car. And then being there is another half an hour. It's like a whole 3 or 4 hour round trip. And as I arrived at the coastal and I made my way down, and I saw all of our family were waiting there. My uncle, my wife's uncle, actually, who was the one who arranged the tefillah. As I arrived, he just said to me, Yasher Koach, thank you for coming. You never know whose tefillah will be the one to be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that made such a tremendous impression on me. Because sometimes the Yetzer Hara can get in. Listen, it's a big trek to the Kosel, and there's plenty of other people there anyway. And why do they need me? And what difference is it going to make? And then just in one sentence, you put all of that aside and said, listen, you never know. You never know whose tefillah will be accepted. Sometimes it's not necessarily the greatest person whose tefillah could make all the difference. Could be somebody who's not the greatest, but for some reason he's got a particular zechus. His tefillah has extra potence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu might well accept his tefillah, just like a bracha of a hedyot. Even a bracha of a hedyot should not be dismissed. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the Omar Rabbi Yechanan, we are on the second medium length line. The Omar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Yesi, Minayin She'ein Meratzin Loi La'odom B'Shas Kasoi. Do not try to appease, do not try to placate somebody at the time that he's angry. When a person is fuming with anger, that's not now the time to start calming him down and to start reasoning with him, because he's not thinking straight.
That's in Avos, isn't it? I think that's in Pirkei Avos.
Yeah, sure.
That Emirats in Leiladam?
No, yeah. Not those words.
I don't think that's those words.
But
the concept, for sure, talks about the Kass. And we've all seen this, and those of you who are with us in our Musavad, we discussed kaas, we spoke about when a person is in a situation of kaas, then logic will not prevail. So if logic will not prevail, there's no point really in approaching him with the power of logic to try and explain to him why he should calm down. The ksiv, and this is based on a pasuk, and it says, "Ponai elechu v'ani choisi loch." Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hamtein li ad sheyavru ponim shel zam v'aniach l'cho." HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who said that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am angry, and therefore you should wait until the anger passes. Don't now talk to me whilst I'm angry. Now, again, a very difficult concept. What does that mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry? Umi ikka rischa. Is there anger coming to kutcha brichu? Does that make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry? And the Gemara says, yes, in Tanya v'keil zayim b'chol yoyim. Every single day, there is a moment of anger. The kamozamoy, and how much anger is this? How long does this last? Says the Gemara, rega. It lasts for one rega. The kamorega, achas mechameshes ribui v'shmoinas alofim v'shmoin meyois v'shmoinim v'shmoino b'sha'o. The zuhi rega. Which means if you take an hour and you split it up into 58,888. I've got a calculator in front of me. If you have 60 minutes times 60 seconds, as we know, 3,600 seconds in an hour. If you divide that by 58,888, it is 0.06 of a second. It's about a 20th of a second. About a 20th of 1 second. V'zuhi rega, v'ein kol beria yechayla l'chavein oisei shah. And no human being could possibly even attempt to know exactly when this particular rega is, except this is Negea to next week's parasha. Chutz mi bila morosha. The ksibe v'yodea das elyon. And as we know, that's really the whole basis for next week's parasha, because Bilam is the one who knows, as it were, when this rega of kaas is, and he's able, therefore, to curse Klal Yisrael, at least that's what he thought, precisely at that moment. How can that be, and how does that work? Mitz Hashem, we'll see tomorrow morning. Bezus Hashem. I hope everybody feels well.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, be well.
Okay.